I'd like to ask you tonight, if you will, to please turn in your Bibles to the book of Ephesians. I would like to read from Ephesians chapter 5. Ephesians chapter 5. I'd like to read verses 14 through 21. Ephesians chapter 5, verses 14 through 21. Before we begin to endeavor to read and study from God's holy word, I would ask that you please join your hearts together with me in a moment of prayer. Our gracious Heavenly Father, we thank you, Lord, for the privilege that we have to know the one true and living God. And Lord, we know there are many, many people on this earth that don't know you as the one true and living God. And we pray that you would help us to realize how thankful we ought to be to know the one true and living God, and to know that you're our Heavenly Father, that you love us with an everlasting love, that you love us so much that you sent your only begotten Son into the earth to save us from our sins. We thank you for all the blessings of life. Our lives have been filled to overflowing, and we know, Lord, that there are very few people in all the ages of time that have ever had the kind of blessings that we have had in our lives. So we pray that you would help us, Lord, to not just thank you with the words of our mouth, but help us by the deeds of our lives to show forth the gratitude that we feel for thy goodness to us. You've provided the food, clothing, and shelter, and all the other natural blessings of life. We've had great abundance of everything in the natural realm. And we've also had the privilege to be a part of thy church and be a part of thy kingdom, to be able to read and study thy holy word, to live in an age when, though we sometimes make ourselves too busy, that if we would adjust our lifestyles, that we could have much more time to serve you than any other generation that has ever lived on the face of the earth. So we pray that you would help us to set our affections on things above rather than on things of the earth. We thank you for your many blessings in our lives, the lives of our family and friends. We thank you for sparing lives. We thank you for blessing those that have been sick to be doing better. And we pray now that you would continue to help and bless all those who stand in special need of thy blessings. We know that you're the great physician, that you have all power. You're able to touch and heal and lift up. And we ask you to bless each one, all those on the prayer list, and those that are on our hearts and minds, the unspoken prayer requests. Lord, we know that there are many things worse than physical problems, and we just ask you to intervene in the lives of those of your children that stand in special need of your help, that you'd give them the strength and grace that they need, that they would look to you every day, that we would help them and do everything we can. Again, we pray that your blessings would be on us in this service tonight. We know that without thee, that we can do nothing, that all of our efforts and labors will be in vain unless your Holy Spirit comes down. So we ask you in the name of Jesus. Thou hast taught us that if we, being evil, know how to give good gifts unto our children, how much more will our Heavenly Father give the Holy Spirit to them that ask him. So we come asking you tonight to fill us with your Spirit and help us to be able to hear and understand and believe and obey thy holy word. And then help us to be doers of thy word and not hearers only. Bless us now in this hour and during this coming week. We pray that you would help us all, that we would live close to you each day. Thank you for the rain. Thank you for all the other blessings of life. Thank you for our brothers and sisters in Christ and for the love and the fellowship that we enjoy together. We pray in the blessed and holy name of our elder brother, our Lord and our Savior, the King of kings and Lord of lords, the head of the church. In the name of Jesus we pray. Amen. I'd like to read now from Ephesians chapter 5, beginning in verse 14. We try to look this morning at the fact that there is a very clear progression as you begin in verse 14 especially. There's a very clear progression that begins with awaking and then arising and then walking and redeeming the time, and you just got step-by-step progression that's given here. I want to begin now with Ephesians chapter 5 and verse 14. The Word of God says, "Wherefore he saith," that is, God saith, "Awake thou that sleepest, and arise from the dead, and Christ shall give thee light. See then that ye walk circumspectly, not as fools, but as wise, redeeming the time, because the days are evil. Wherefore be ye not unwise, but understanding what the will of the Lord is. And be not drunk with wine, wherein is excess, but be filled with the Spirit, speaking to yourselves in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs, singing and making melody in your heart to the Lord, giving thanks always for all things unto God and the Father in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ, submitting yourselves one to another in the fear of God. That's the 14th through the 21st verses of Ephesians chapter 5. We started this morning with verse 14, where the Word of God says, "Awake thou that sleepest, and arise from the dead, and Christ shall give thee light." And tonight I want us to look at the 15th verse. Verse 15 says, "See then that ye walk circumspectly, not as fools, but as wise." And whenever the Word of God here says walk, that's not just talking about putting one foot in front of another. When the Word of God is talking about us walking in a particular way, it's talking about the way we live. It's talking about what we're thinking about, what we're doing, every part of our lives. How we're living is how we're walking. That's what it's talking about. "See then that ye walk circumspectly." See that you are careful about what you're thinking about and what you're doing at all times. The word circumspectly means with great care, with accuracy, and with precision. You're to be very, very careful about everything that you do in your life. I think that sometimes that God's people, instead of really trying to be on a course in their lives, I think there are some people that are like a ship out on the sea without a rudder at all. And they're just going this way and that. They're tossed to and fro, and they do not have a particular course or plan of action for their lives. Now, that's not walking circumspectly. The only way that you'll ever walk circumspectly is if you decide exactly what you're going to do, and you set your mind, heart, and soul to go in that direction, and then you work every day to walk in a path that would honor and glorify God. "See then that ye walk circumspectly." Be careful that everything you do in your life, that it's something that would honor and glorify God. Now, the word walk is used a number of times in that admonition about how we're to live, how we're to walk in our lives, is used repeatedly in Ephesians chapters 4 and 5. Back up to chapter 4 just a moment. Look at Ephesians chapter 4 and verse 1. Ephesians chapter 4, we're talking about walking circumspectly, walking the way God would have you to walk. Now, I believe the Word of God tells us step by step exactly how God would have us to walk. Sometimes people wonder, well, now what is it God would have me to do? You just look at God's Word and you think about what the Word of God says tonight and you'll know exactly how God would have you to walk. You'll know what it means to walk circumspectly or walk accurately or walk precisely or walk the way God would have you to walk. Look at Ephesians chapter 4, verse 1. The Apostle Paul says, "I therefore, the prisoner of the Lord, beseech you that ye walk worthy of the vocation wherewith you are called." Now, there again, he's talking about walking. And he says that we need to walk worthy of the vocation wherewith you are called. Did you know that every one of you, that every born-again child of God, has been called from death unto life? And we've been called to walk circumspectly. And he says here, "See then that ye walk worthy of the vocation wherewith you're called." What is your vocation? What is your vocation? Now, usually whenever you think of vocation, if I were to hand out sheets of paper and I were to tell every adult here, write down your vocation. Brother John Smith, what is your vocation? What would you normally write down when I ask what is the vocation? Yes, your job, your occupation, your work. What do you do? He works at UPS. That's his vocation in the natural realm. But did you know that every one of us has a vocation as a child of God? And we're to walk worthy. It's a blessing. Were you glad when you got that job, Brother John, at UPS? Were you thankful to get that job? I'm not saying, are you thankful every day? There are times that you get weary, and everybody gets weak and weary and faint in their job. But listen, brethren, most of you that work, you're glad that you have that job. You're thankful that you have that job. And you need to be thankful. But you also need to know and understand that you ought to be thankful for the vocation wherewith God has called you. God has called you to be a disciple of Jesus Christ. I believe with all of my heart, brethren, that every one of you as children of God, that you've been called just like Peter and James and John and all the other people that Jesus went to and said, follow me. I believe that's your vocation, is to follow Jesus Christ. Your spiritual vocation is to be a disciple, a follower of Jesus Christ. And we're to walk worthy of that vocation. Are the things, Brother John, that you can do to walk worthy of that natural job you have? If you don't show up for work on time regularly, if you begin to be late to work, what's probably going to happen? You'll be called into the office. Are you proving that you're not walking worthy of the vocation that you're called to in the natural realm if you don't get to work on time? If you become slack and lazy at work, if you're not working hard, if you're doing other things when you ought to be working on the job, you eventually are going to lose that job. Likewise, brethren, I believe that every child of God, though God has called us into a spiritual vocation, if you become lazy and lackadaisical and lukewarm and indifferent about the vocation wherewith you're called, God will spew you out of His mouth and you will cease to have the job, you'll cease to have the privilege to have the vocation of being a disciple of Jesus Christ. God will cast His people away from the vocation wherewith they are called. We're to walk worthy of the vocation wherewith we're called. We've been called to be a spiritual follower and worker in God's kingdom. And we're to walk worthy. If you walk circumspectly, you know the first thing I want you to remember? Remember the text in Ephesians 5:15 says, see then that you walk circumspectly, walk accurately, walk precisely. Well, here's one of the ways you walk accurately and precisely and circumspectly is if you walk worthy of the vocation wherewith you're called. After he says that in Ephesians chapter 4 and verse 1, that we're to walk worthy of the vocation wherewith you're called, come down to verse 17 and he tells us how not to walk. You know, that's a wonderful thing about the Word of God is that sometimes God will tell us exactly what we're to do. But God's Word sometimes will give us the negative teaching and say, now this is what you are not supposed to do. He does that repeatedly. God does that repeatedly in His Word. He'll tell us exactly what we're to do, and He'll tell us what we are not to be doing. So He says in verse 1 that we're to walk worthy of the vocation wherewith we're called. Look what He does in verse 17. Come down in your Bibles to verse 17. Ephesians chapter 4 and verse 17. The Word of God says this, I say therefore, and testify in the Lord, that ye henceforth walk not as other Gentiles walk. Now what does he mean here by Gentiles? Well, the Word of God makes a clear difference between Jews and Gentiles. They're different in a natural realm, but they're also different in a spiritual realm. And the Word of God makes it plain that you and I, though we are in the flesh, we are Gentiles. The Word of God teaches that we're to be a spiritual Jew. That is, the circumcision is not of the flesh, but the circumcision is that of the heart. And we're to have a clean heart and a pure heart. And we're not to walk as other Gentiles walk. And then he explains how they walk. This is the way not to walk. If you're walking circumspectly, you will not walk as other Gentiles walk. What does he say? Number one, that other Gentiles walk in what? In the vanity of their mind. How many of you have ever known anybody that had a trouble with being too vain? Anybody ever known anybody that had a trouble with being too vain? Did you know that probably most of us here, that's a problem that we have, is sometimes we're too vain. There was a song when I was in high school. I think it was when I was in high school. Anyway, I remember the song. It said, you're so vain. I bet you think I'm thinking about you. Well, that's what part of what vanity is. Vanity is when you're very self-centered. And the Word of God here says, walk not as other Gentiles walk in the vanity of their mind. Sometimes the people of God who have been called with a new vocation, sometimes instead of thinking about Christ and instead of thinking about other people, who is number one in so many children of God's lives? The person themselves is number one. You remember how to have joy? You remember that simple little children's lesson that we often teach? If you want to have joy, you want to have joy in your life, you put J, put Jesus first, and then the O. What do you put? Others, and then Y? Yourself. Yourself comes last. But where, if we're not walking circumspectly, if we're not walking the way God would have us to walk, then who do we put first in our lives? We put ourselves. And when you put yourself first, you put yourself above others, and you put yourself above Christ, you're walking in the vanity of your mind. And the Word of God here is telling us plainly in Ephesians 5:15, walk circumspectly, not as fools, but as wise. And if we're walking in the vanity of our mind, we're walking as fools, and God's children can be foolish sometimes. When we walk in the vanity of our mind, when we walk as other Gentiles walk, how many times have you wanted to be like everybody else? How many of you that have children have ever had your children say, everybody else does it? How many of you have ever heard that? Any parents ever heard that? Why, everybody else does it. Well, listen, brethren, that is a always, if everybody else is doing it, without a doubt, that's something your children ought not to be doing. Because the Scripture says here, walk not as other Gentiles walk. If you want to be like everybody else, you can't be a Christian. So if your children ever say, everybody else is doing it, say, glad you told me that. Because if everybody else is doing it, you will not be allowed to do it. God's children are not to walk as other Gentiles walk. You're not to be in step with the world. You're not to be walking along with the world. You're to walk different. Who was the guy that walked to a different beat? What was the drummer that... Well, I don't remember. There's something I'm thinking about that walked... The guy that walked to a different beat.
He walked to the beat of his own drum.
Yeah, he walked to the beat of his own drum. Well, listen, brethren, you and I ought to walk to a different beat than what the rest of the world is walking to. The rest of the world is listening to the drums of Satan, and they're right in step with Satan, but the people of God are not to walk like that. If you're walking like that, you're walking as other Gentiles walk. But you're to walk circumspectly, you're to walk differently, and your walk will be in step and in harmony with Jesus Christ instead of the rest of the world. Jesus says, if you want to be a friend of the world, you're a blank with God. What? You're an enemy of God. If you're going to be a friend of the world, if you're going to walk with the world, if you're going to walk in the broad way, you're going down a path that leads to destruction. It's not something different. You can't do different than everybody else. What I mean by that is, if you think that you can walk with the world and you not be destroyed, the devil has got you deceived. If you walk with the world, you will be destroyed. There aren't any exceptions to the rule. Those that walk the broad way, it's a path that leads to destruction. Those that walk the straight and narrow path, that walk leads to abundant life in Christ Jesus. Walk not as other Gentiles walk. How many walk that broad way? How many walk as other Gentiles walk? Many there be that go in thereat, but how many walk to the different beat? How many walk in the footsteps of Jesus Christ? The Bible says few, F-E-W, few there be that walk that way. Now, the admonition that Paul is giving to the saints of God at Ephesus is, don't walk like everybody else. Don't walk like the majority is walking. Don't live, don't think, and don't act like the rest of the world. Walk differently. Now, what do you have to have in order to... What does it take for you to walk different than everybody else? These teenagers, does it take a lot of something to not bow down to peer pressure? Does it take a lot of something to not bow down to peer pressure? Is peer pressure something that's very strong? Is peer pressure natural? Is peer pressure something that, as a human being, that you want to be like everybody else? Is that something that every human being wants to be? Is peer pressure wanting everybody to like you? Is that natural for you to want everybody to like you? That's natural. That's human. I've told some preachers before, I've said, I wish that everybody liked me. I do. I'd like for everybody to like me. My nature, my flesh, I wish everybody liked me. But listen, brethren, you can't have everybody like you and follow Jesus Christ. You cannot. If you're going to walk in a way that everybody's pleased with your life in this world, the Word of God says, woe unto you. Woe, that means trouble is ahead. Woe unto you when all men speak well of you. If you're going to walk with Jesus Christ, you're going to have a number of people that are going to hate you. Jesus said, they hated me. And if you follow me, they will hate you. Don't walk like other Gentiles walk. Now come down to Ephesians chapter 5, verse 1. We're still talking about walking circumspectly, not walking as fools, but walking as wise. Ephesians chapter 5, look at verses 1 and 2. Be ye therefore followers of God as dear children. And then he says, and walk in love. Now what did he say? Listen, everybody look and listen. This is a simple lesson to learn. Ephesians 5:15. Ephesians 5:15, he said, walk what? You fill in the blank. Walk what? Walk circumspectly. Walk precisely. Walk accurately. Walk in the path of Jesus Christ. Then Ephesians 4:1, what does the Word of God say? Walk what? Walk worthy of the vocation wherewith you're called. And Ephesians 4:17, what does the Word of God say? Walk not as other Gentiles walk. And then Ephesians 5:2, what does the Word of God say? Walk in love. Walk in love. Listen, brethren, if you don't love, I don't care how much of the Bible you can quote. And I find this happens quite often, that as Christians, as children of God, begin to grow spiritually, they love to talk about how much they know. You can start to talk about a principle and they say, oh, I know where that is, and they'll throw in the scripture. I don't care if you do know where it is. The important thing is not how much you know. The important thing is whether or not you're walking in love. Because if you're not walking in love, you are not a Christian. Did you know that's true? Jesus says, by this, and here's the one number one identifying principle of a Christian. Jesus says, by this shall all men know that ye are my disciples, if ye have love one to another. Sister Donna, do you think I love you? I do. I love you. Pray for you. Do all of you know it's a blessing? Brother Jody prayed this in his prayer. He thanked God for the privilege of having brotherly love and unity. You know, that's a tremendous blessing. Do you know the only way to keep brotherly love? Do you know how it is that we're all walking in step together? How is it that we're walking in step? Who's the one you follow if you're going to all walk in step? Jesus Christ. Not the preacher, not the deacon, not somebody else. The only way we're ever going to continue to walk in step and be a part of an army of God is if we follow our Lord, our Savior, the captain of our salvation. The only one who knows absolutely how to walk circumspectly is Jesus Christ. And if we follow Him, we will walk circumspectly. We will walk worthy of the vocation wherewith we're called. We will not walk as other Gentiles walk. And we will walk in love. Love is the main thing. If you don't have charity, then it doesn't matter if you can quote everything in the Word of God from Genesis through Revelation. It doesn't matter if a man can give all of his money to the poor. It doesn't matter what else a person does. If he doesn't have charity, what is he? What does Paul say in 1 Corinthians 13? He's nothing. So if we're not walking in love, we're not walking, what's the main text say over in Ephesians 5:15? We're not walking circumspectly if we're not walking in love. If you have animosity in your heart, if you have anger in your heart, you know, people tickle me sometimes saying, and I do the same thing, say, Well, are you angry at that person? No, no, I'm not angry at them. Well, are you mad? No, I'm not mad at them. What do we always try to do whenever we know we're wrong? What do we try to do? What do you think we try to do? Brother Philip, what we do? Yeah, we hide it, and we wouldn't dare admit we're really angry at somebody or mad at somebody. We want to come up with some other word, and all we're doing is trying to hide the fact that I've got a problem in my heart. If you have anger in your heart to a brother and sister in Christ, you better get it straightened out quickly, because you can't have anger toward that brother and sister and love them at the same time. And if you're not walking in love, you're not walking circumspectly. Love toward God, the first and great commandment, is thou shalt love the Lord thy God with all thy heart, soul, mind, and strength. If I'm not walking in love towards God, then I'm not walking circumspectly. And if I'm not walking in love towards you, then I'm not walking circumspectly. I must walk in love in order to walk circumspectly. Now look at Ephesians chapter 5 and verse 8. Ephesians 5 and verse 8. The Word of God says in Ephesians 5:8, "For ye were sometimes darkness, but now are ye light in the Lord. Walk as children of light." What's the whole point? What's the main message he's leading up to? Walk circumspectly. Well, how do you walk circumspectly? You walk circumspectly by walking every other way he's been leading up to. Walk as children of light. Now, how do you walk as a child of light? Well, turn in your Bibles to 1 John. Glad you asked the question. Look at 1 John. Go forward in your Bibles to 1 John chapter 5. And I want you to see that the Word of God makes it plain here exactly how to walk as children of light. By the way, we mentioned this morning, who is the light of the world? Jesus Christ. So if you're walking as children of light, you remember how the Word of God says, God is what? God is light. God is light. Now look at 1 John chapter 1. 1 John chapter 1. Listen to verses 6 and 7. The Word of God says, if we say that we have fellowship with Him, pronoun Him is referring to God. 1 John chapter 1, verse 6. If we say that we have fellowship with God and walk in darkness, we lie and do not the truth. Tell me how you walk in darkness. Give me an example of walking in darkness, Brother Mac. Give me any example that you can think of any way that you or I might walk in darkness. All right, walking in the ways of the world. Be more specific. Okay, following peer pressure. Be more specific. All right, be more specific. Okay, all right, that's one. All kinds of things. How long is the list whenever you start talking about walking like the world is walking, and walking in ungodly ways, walking in sinful ways? The list is just, it goes on forever, doesn't it? And what might be a temptation to me is not a temptation at all to you, and what's a temptation to you might not be a temptation to me, but what are we to do? We're to bear one another's burdens and pray one for another. Are there people that could be in the house of the Lord tonight? Are there members and friends of the church that could be in the house of the Lord tonight but are not here? That could be here but are not here? In all probability, the answer is yes. Well, now what do you need to do? Just think bad things about them? Have any of you ever thought bad things about somebody that didn't come to church on Sunday night? Brother Philip, you ever had a bad thought when you was... Think back, at Mount Nebo, Sunday morning. That's right. You can get angry at them. Now, brethren, I want to exhort all of you, don't be getting angry at brothers and sisters in Christ. I want you to love them. I want you to pray for them. I don't want you to be pharisaical about, I was there, where were you? I want you to always feel like, except for the grace of God, you wouldn't be in the house of God tonight. Do all of you know that and understand that? How many of you wanted to sleep tonight? How many of you were tempted to sleep tonight? I was. I told Teresa about 4 o'clock this afternoon, I said, I am so tired at the nursing home this afternoon. Any of you get sleepy at the nursing home this afternoon? Little David, you didn't get sleepy? Well, I did. I got sleepy, and it's a bad feeling. I kept saying, "Awake thou that sleepest! Awake thou that sleepest!" I kept talking to myself, trying to wake me up. I was so sleepy and so tired. And listen, brethren, it needs to be moved and motivated by love, but we need to be in the house of God every time the doors are open. I needed to be here tonight. I feel a whole lot better by coming than if I had sloughed off and stayed home. Did you know that? I have never been to the house of God when I put forth a special effort to be there when I didn't want to go, but I went because it was time to go and it was the right thing to do. I have never been that I didn't find a great blessing in going. Have all of you found that to be true? It doesn't matter whether it's going to the nursing home or going to church or studying God's Word or helping somebody in some way. When you feel like you can't go on, you feel like you just are 100% out of energy, there's no energy there at all, and yet you just pray, "God, please help me," and then the Lord will just give you that strength and grace, and you feel like you're just full of energy all of a sudden. God is so good. He's strong. He's able to help us when we think we can't go on. 1 John chapter 1. If we say that we have fellowship with God and walk in darkness, are there people who willfully stay away from the house of God and will tell you face to face, "I'm as close to God as you are"? They'll tell you, "I'm just as close to God as I've always been." They'll tell you, "There's nothing wrong with my walk with God." Let me tell you something, brethren. If we say that we have fellowship with God and we're walking in darkness, we're a liar. You can deceive yourself if you want to and be deceived by the devil if you want to, but you can write this down. It's a principle in God's Word. It's the truth of God. God's Word says if we say that we have fellowship with God and we walk in darkness, we lie and do not the truth. Now look at verse 7. Verse 7 says, "But if we walk in the light..." Now what's the contrast being made here? In verse 6 he talked about those that walk in what? Walk in darkness. That's walking in sinful ways. If we walk in darkness, but we say we have fellowship with God, we're a liar. But then verse 7 says, "If we walk in the light as He is in the light, we have fellowship." What is fellowship? What is fellowship? Some of you know Hugh that was here from Australia. He's a good friend of mine and Brother Carthel's. He stayed with Wilton and Sherry for about 6 months as an exchange student. He comes back and visits regularly. He's from Australia, and he and I love to study God's Word. Now, we do other things together, but we went and trapped some yesterday morning, but then we went and we sat down and ate breakfast together, and we spent about an hour studying God's Word, having great fellowship. And he asked me, he said, "What is fellowship? What is fellowship? How would you define fellowship?" How would you define, Brother Chris, how would you define fellowship?
Friendship with other children of God.
Okay, friendship with other children of God. Okay. Anyone else? Fellowship. Say it again. Brother David, who was... Okay.
Similar to the example that you've used in the past where it's fellows of a ship. They depend on one another. They look to one another. They help one another.
They have a common goal, a common interest. They're all headed in the same direction. Fellows in the same ship. They're friends, like Brother Chris said. Is there a difference in being a friend, a real friend, a true friend, a chief friend? Is there a difference in that kind of friend and just a general kind of friend? The Word of God talks about chief friends. Sister Arlene, do you have any chief friends? Mm-hmm. All of you have friends that are far above the normal friends. You need to thank God for them. But did you know the one friend you ought to have that's above everybody else, the one friend that ought to mean more to you than everybody else, is Jesus? The one you ought to, see, I don't want my friends to be offended, so I try not to do things to offend them, though I sometimes do. That's where forgiveness and grace comes in. But the one friend that you ought to be more concerned with offending more than anyone else is Jesus. That songwriter that wrote down, "What a friend we have in Jesus." What a friend. He's a friend. He's a friend that sticketh closer than a brother. And Jesus says this, "Ye are my friends if," there's a condition there, "ye are my friends if ye do whatsoever I have commanded you." You're only a friend of Jesus if you're doing what Jesus says. And that's what he says here in 1 John chapter 1, verse 7. "If we walk in the light as he is in the light, we have fellowship one with another, and the blood of Jesus Christ his Son cleanseth us from all sin." I hope that God will help every one of us tonight to realize the tremendous blessing of walking circumspectly. Did you know we're leading up to something in this passage of Scripture in Ephesians 5, 14, 15? Did you know we're leading up to something? What did it start out with? "Awake, thou that sleepest." Wake up. "Arise from the dead." Get up. "And Christ shall give thee light." That's a great blessing right there for God to give you light. And then he says, "Walk circumspectly, not as fools, but as wise." God's children, you choose and I choose. When you go home tonight, when you get up tomorrow, you're going to make choices all day long about either walking circumspectly or walking haphazardly. The only way you're going to have fellowship with God is if you walk circumspectly. May God help us to do that, is my prayer for Christ's sake.